Today's scripture is from Philippians 3, verses 7 through 11. The very credentials these people are waving around as something special, I'm tearing up and throwing out with the trash, along with everything else I used to take credit for. And why? Because of Christ. Yes, all the things I once thought were so important are gone from my life. Compared to the high privilege of knowing Christ Jesus as my master firsthand, everything I once thought I had going for me is insignificant, dog dung. I've dumped it all in the trash so that I could embrace Christ and be embraced by him. I didn't want some petty, inferior brand of righteousness that comes from keeping a list of rules when I could get the robust kind that comes from trusting Christ, God's righteousness. I gave up all that inferior stuff so I could know Christ personally, experience his resurrection power, be a partner in his suffering, and go all the way with him to death itself. If there was any way to get in on the resurrection from the dead, I wanted to do it.
The Apostle Paul wrote this from Philippians. He wrote this as one of the most credentialed people that lived at that time. And reading from the Message Bible, as we just did, it's a modern translation that really puts things in a very straightforward manner. And so we can see Paul's real kind of disgust for all the things that he had that he once thought were so valuable. All the credentials that he had. He was a Pharisee. He was the son of a Pharisee. He had money. He had wealth. He had status. He had power. Power to the point that he literally held people's lives in his hand. Paul had such power that people lived and died based on him when he was named Saul. In his early years, he was known as Saul. Then he found Jesus. Actually, Jesus found him. And in a very dramatic event, Saul found Jesus Christ. It changed his life. His name was changed to Paul, and he became one of the great apostles of all time. And he looks back on all those credentials, the wealth, the notoriety, the power, the status, the heritage that he had from his family, all the educational accomplishments that he had. And he says, that's just junk. It's just garbage. There's nothing to it. That what I've found now in Jesus is my status. It is my wealth. That once he found the spiritual life, once he found Jesus, all of the things that he thought were so important were no longer important. Just junk. And so let me ask you, what do you want? Perhaps the most important question in our whole life is one that we never really ask, at least not on a deep level. What do you want? What is the thing that you really want in life? And the real tragedy is a lot of people, a lot of good people, a lot of Christian people are working really, really hard for stuff that is just junk. They're like the Apostle Paul was when he was Saul. They're doing things, working really hard, dedicating themselves, doing a lot of things, being very busy. But is it really what we want? Are you truly fulfilled with what you have, what you're pursuing, what you're doing with your life? Is it really what you want? Now, there's a couple of things that come into play with that question. What do we want? What is it that you really desire in life? And one of them is just trying to figure out what that means on a deep level. We see this as we mature as people. When we are children, what does it mean to be happy? What do you want? Well, you want candy for dinner every day, and you never want to go to school. You want to just play all the time and eat junk food. But as we mature, we understand that while that may provide some temporary happiness, some temporary joy, ultimately, there's not going to be a contentment there. There's not going to be health there. If it's nothing but junk in your life as far as your diet, you're just eating candy all the time, we as adults know that we can't allow the children to do that because they won't be healthy. And if you're not healthy, then you're not going to be able to do the things you want to do, and you're not going to be happy. That if you never go to school, you're never educated, temporarily that might be fun. But then you can't work, you can't get a job, you won't have abilities to do things. You won't be around other people in healthy environments. There's so many downsides to that are obvious to us as adults as we mature. Now, some people, even as adults, never really get out of that childhood stage. They stay there forever. We call that sin. That they acquire all kinds of things for themselves, doing all kinds of things in the moment that they think is going to make them happy. Okay, promiscuity and alcohol and drugs and all kinds of things that they think will make them happy in the moment. They live this, what we call hedonism. They live this life of just taking everything they want in their desires and never really being fulfilled in it. But it can be other things that are not sinful. It can be our jobs that we work too much. It could be money that we're attached to too much. It can be things that we acquire, status. Nothing wrong with those things. Nothing wrong with money or status or being popular among people. But when those things become our desire, ultimately, just like candy for dinner, it doesn't actually fulfill us. A lot of times we end up on this cycle of trying to get more and more because we think if we can just get a little bit more of that, we'll be happy. That is what we want. And so we have to look at a very deep level. What is it that we actually want? What do we want to be? Who is it that we want to be? All the things that we've chased, all the things that we've acquired, all the things that we've done, that's fine. But is it really what we want? The Apostle Paul had to admit, no, none of that stuff that I wanted before, none of those things I acquired, none of those things that I did, none of those, all the stuff that I had, it's just junk. Just garbage. You throw that stuff out. Because he found something else. He found something on a spiritual level. A connection with God and a connection with people. Remember what Jesus said was the most important commandments? Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. The Apostle Paul, after having everything a Jewish boy could ever want, found that what he really wanted was to love God and to love people. To have the love of God and the love and the connection with the church in his life, the connection with people. So what do you really want? People will say, I want to be happy, but what is it that will truly make you happy? Aren't there things in your life that you wanted, that you thought would bring you joy, and you got it, and it was okay. Maybe even not okay. What is it on our deepest level, in our soul, that we truly want? The Apostle Paul shows us that you can have everything in the world and not have anything. That when we have that spiritual depth, that connection with God, that's what we really end up wanting. The Apostle Paul says, now I have everything because I have Christ. I have that connection with Jesus. And now all that other stuff is junk. I have what I really want. The other aspect to this is that one of the hindrances, one of the struggles, even if we are able to come to a place that we really understand what we want, that we really want that connection of spirit with God, our Creator, we really want a connection with people in our family, our friends, our church, our community, we want to love and to be loved. That's what we truly want in life, to love God and to love others and to receive that love from God and others. Even if we get that, one of the real struggles is very often we don't believe we deserve it. There's a storyline in our minds that even if we overcome the immaturity, you know, as I said, children want candy and they don't want to go to school. Sometimes we live in that. If I can just get more stuff, if I can get, the candy changes, it changes into other things, but sometimes we think if I can just get that, I'll be happy. If we overcome that and we get past that point, maybe because we realize it spiritually, or maybe because we've acquired everything and we realize that really didn't make me happy. When we get to that place, sometimes we start to wonder, do I really deserve that? We've all got things that we're not proud of. We've all come from, in some way or another, difficult backgrounds. Now, I hope you came from a wonderful background where your parents loved you. With this many people, and we have a lot of folks out today, but we still have enough people where I can say, probably most of us didn't. There's always dysfunction within families. It's one of the sad realities of life, that we all have struggles that we have to overcome, even if we came from wonderful families, but especially if we didn't, there's struggles we have to overcome. There's scenarios that are in our mind that came by from a long time ago, and we start to wonder, do I really deserve to be happy? Do I really deserve that depth of love with God and with others? Is that something that I can truly have after what I've done or after what has happened to me or the struggles I've had in this life? Does God really love me? Could God really love me? Could I really connect with other people? We begin to wonder, is that even possible? And this is a really common thing. We don't always talk about it, but there's been some research done on this. Breen Brown is an author that did some studies on this very thing and found, and I quote, there was only one variable that separated the people who have strong sense of love and belonging and the people who struggle for it. Only one variable. And that was that people who have a strong sense of love and belonging believe they are worthy of love and belonging. That's it. They believe they're worthy. The one thing that keeps us out of connection is the fear that we're not worthy of connection. Do we really deserve what we want? What we really want? Not the toys of life, not the things of life that are junk ultimately. Do we really deserve? Can we really have that? Is that something that is even possible that we are worthy of having in this life? And so many times, one of the reasons we still chase the toys, we still chase the money, the status, the notoriety, the power, the glamour, we chase all of those things is because we think if I can just get there, if I can get to that next place, if I can have a little bit of status, a little notoriety, a little bit of power, a little bit of money, a little bit of something, if I can have a different relationship in my life, if I can have more friends, if I could date a different person, if I could do something, then maybe I could show my worth. If I could have that accomplishment, whatever it is, then maybe I can get over that struggle in my life and I can be worthy. The struggle is that never happens. Every time we get over that hump, there's another one. There's another struggle. That's the nature of life. There's always that next thing that's expected of us, that somebody wants. There's always that next fear that maybe I can't get to that next place. And sometimes we do this our whole life. Sometimes we are young people in high school, and we think, you know, when I'm 18, when I'm 21, when I'm an adult, and I don't have to listen to my parents, I can do what I want, then I'll be happy. And then we get there and we realize that's hard. There's a lot of responsibility. And maybe we're going to university, and we think, when I graduate from the university and I can have a professional job, when I get that job that I'm wanting, if I can apply for that job and get that money, if I can get that next promotion, if I can just find the right person to marry, when we have kids and our family is complete, when I get these kids out of this house, then I'll be happy. When I retire and I've got some time, and we live our whole life thinking, if I can just get past that next place, then maybe I can earn it. Then I will have crossed to a place that I can be truly fulfilled and happy. And sometimes we spend our whole life doing that because ultimately, deep down, we don't think we're worthy of having true happiness. from where I come from what I've done, from the mistakes I've made, from what's happened to me, from the way my family treated me, my friends treated me, the things that have happened to me, I have gotten the message perhaps that this is just the way it is. I'm not worthy of being happy. I'm not worthy of truly having what I desire most in this world. And we start substituting the toys and the candy of life, even as adults, just stuff that we can get to try to fill that void. St. Francis said, everyone has a God-sized hole in their heart. God is the one that can bring that true happiness. The Apostle Paul had everything in the world, and he said, it's junk. Throw it in the garbage, because now I have Christ. And even Christians who come to church, who are good people doing charity work, that are following the guidance of Scripture, still struggle in their spirit wondering, can I really be happy? Can I really have that connection with God? And here's the good news. The answer is yes, and it has nothing to do with anything you've done, good or bad. You can't earn it. And the stuff that you've done that was wrong, God can take care of that. It's not about us, it's about God. Because Paul did a lot of things wrong when he was Saul. Paul hurt a lot of people. He destroyed a lot of lives. And he discovered that his worth was not in his accomplishments, his money, his power, what he had done in his life. And the bad things he had done, the sinful things he had done, the things that he had done that hurt people so much was not going to take away the love of God. That we are worthy, not because of our accomplishments, but because of the very Spirit of God. That God created us as God's own creation in God's own image. Now, I know we don't look like that because it's a fallen world. But then Jesus comes into this world to pay for that sin so that we could be made worthy through Jesus Christ. And we have the Spirit of God in us, the Holy Spirit, working with us, making us better all the time if we will follow that Spirit. The fancy seminary word for that is sanctification or sanctifying grace. That God is always working with us to make us better. The way I always put this is that God loves you exactly as you are right now without hesitation, regardless of what's going on in your life. He accepts you 100% exactly as you are. But he loves you too much to leave you like you are. He'll make you better. He'll take you as you are right now. And you are worthy of his love because he says so. He made you. And Christ died for you. And he knows how to live in us, in his Spirit, to make us better. He knows exactly how to take us down that road. He makes us worthy. And so when we ask the question, what do you want? Ultimately, what we really want is a connection with God and a connection with other people. That can come in a lot of different ways. But we want that connection with God and connection with other people. And no matter what you chase in this life other than that, it will not ultimately fulfill you. And can you have a connection with God and a connection with other people? Yes, because of God. Because God makes you worthy of that. It is the work of God. God is creator, and he is creating. He created us. He made us. He knows we're in a mess in this world. He gets that. That's why Jesus came to save us, to be our Savior, and he walks with us in his Holy Spirit so that we can be better. We are worthy, and he makes us worthy. We can have exactly what we want in this life. And even in his love, he'll even give us a few toys. He'll give us a few nice things in life. We might have some money. We might have some status. We might get that job we want. But that's not about that. That's just icing on the cake, so to speak. That's just stuff God gives us as blessings, and we can enjoy it. But our true contentment, our true reality of who we are and why we are worthy comes because we are God's creation and God's beloved, God's redeemed, and the one that God is sanctifying. This is all about the work of God. And that's why, on a regular basis, we come into this place and we have a tradition called Holy Communion. And it's really quite simple. We come forward in a few moments and we are given a pinch of bread, just a small piece of bread. And we dip it into a cup of juice and we eat it. And on that level, it's very, very simple. But on a spiritual level, it's quite profound. Because that bread represents the body of Jesus Christ who died for us. The juice represents the blood of Jesus who spilled that blood on the cross for us to pay the price of every sin so that we are made worthy. So that we can have every barrier between us and God broken down. That all the stuff we could have in this life are just blessings, but they're not the core. We are worthy of love. We are loved because of the work of Jesus Christ. And so as we receive communion, we can ask the question, what do you want? Do you want to just go through the motions of a church tradition? Well, you can do that if that's what you want. You can come and get the pinch of bread and dip it in the cup, and it can mean nothing. It can just be something you did today. And of course, we don't force anyone. If you don't want to, you don't have to. No one's forced to even take communion. But everyone's invited. And I want to make that very clear. Everyone's invited. Everyone's encouraged because it's not my table. It's not a Methodist table. It's not this church's table. It's God's table. It's the work of God. But what we understand is that it's not just a ritual and it's not just bread and juice. On a spiritual level, it's the very grace of God extended to us. A remembrance of what Jesus has done and the grace of God within those elements. Physically, we don't believe that they change. As United Methodists, we don't believe that there's a physical transformation, but we do believe there's a spiritual one. And so what do you want? As you come forward and receive, do you want to experience the very grace of God? Well, that's what God wants too. God wants a connection with us in every moment of our life, and particularly as we come to moments of worship like this. And so my prayer is that that's what you will want, a connection with God through these elements, through this very simple act of tradition, but a very powerful spiritual moment, that we receive this bread and cup as the body and the blood of Christ and his very grace taken into our very soul. And if we experience just a little bit of that, we can go into our week doing what we always do, our job, school, whatever it is we do, and know that we have the profound love of God in us, and that's all we really need. Everything else is either just junk or blessings we can enjoy. What we really have is love that we deserve, not because of us, but because God made us.